From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In a surprising move, the famed whistleblower Chelsea Manning announced her primary election challenge to Democratic Senator Benjamin Cardin of Maryland. The move comes less than a year after Manning was released from military prison after being pardoned by President Barack Obama as one of his last acts in office. Manning was imprisoned for nearly 7 years after being convicted of crimes related to the release of internal documents about the Iraq and Afghanistan wars to WikiLeaks. The conditions of her incarceration were tantamount to torture, according to experts. And it was while she was in prison that she announced her transition from Bradley Manning to Chelsea Manning. Now, establishment Democrats and their supporters are worried about her Senate challenge and are already attacking her. In this bold campaign ad that she just released, Manning pulls no punches about what her entry into politics means.
I'm Chelsea Manning, and I approve this message.
We live in trying times. Times of fear. Of suppression. Of hate. We don't need more or better leaders. We need someone willing to fight. We need to stop asking them to give us our rights. They won't support us. They won't compromise. We need to stop expecting that our systems will somehow fix themselves. We need to actually take the reins of power from them. We need to challenge them at every level. We need to fix this. We don't need them anymore. We can do better. You're damn right we got this.
And that's a campaign ad that Chelsea Manning just released announcing her primary challenge to longtime Democratic Senator Benjamin Cardin in Maryland. My guest is Kevin Gostola, managing editor of Shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure, and he's been following Chelsea Manning's story for years. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
So the campaign ad says so much, even though the words are sort of very, you know, the language is fairly simple. It's quite dramatic. She, for our radio audience, Chelsea Manning appears in all black. She, you know, she's not wearing a suit or pantsuit or anything. She's wearing all black with a, she's wearing a hoodie. What is the symbolism of this campaign ad to you?
I think it symbols that Chelsea is a completely different candidate than anyone who has possibly ever run in the recent or modern day Democratic Party. She's affixing that label to herself, and she's running this ad where she's using a lot of imagery that perhaps you might find in a Hollywood film, but it also has the imagery of protest and resistance in it. It's embracing symbols that you might identify with anarchist or even socialist movements. And she really truly believes that this sort of identity for her campaign is what could push her forward.
So she has chosen to run as a Democrat. And, you know, one might imagine that it's similar to the logic that Bernie Sanders used in running as a Democrat after identifying as an independent for many, many years. It's been extremely hard for third party candidates to break into national politics. You know, you can run for city council, maybe, but running for a seat in the Senate or any other seat in Congress, that is extremely difficult unless you're from one of the two major parties. Is that why you think, or as far as you know, she's chosen to run as a Democrat?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, it's probably because of ease. However, there are, in some small cases, you know, if you're a celebrity or you have some sort of following, it can be a possibility that you would run as a Green Party candidate or a Socialist Party candidate or some other candidate on a small party ticket. But obviously, I think she wants to just jump in and hit the ground running and not have to deal with the handicap or the issues that you have if you are a third party candidate.
Right. And of course, speaking of Bernie Sanders, he ran as a Senate candidate in Vermont as an independent. And it took him several tries to actually get to the position that he was in. Vermont is a very small state. Let's talk about who Chelsea Manning is challenging in the primary, because this is critical. Benjamin Cardin, a name that, you know, if you're following Washington politics closely, you might have heard of. But in general, he's a fairly unremarkable person in the Democratic Party. Pretty sort of, easy vote to count on for things that Democrats, especially the establishment Democratic Party, backs. How do you explain who Benjamin Cardin is and why Chelsea Manning's challenge to him could possibly work?
Ben Cardin is, I like the adjective that you use, of an unremarkable person. He's very establishment oriented, and there's not very much about him that is interesting. And perhaps that's the point as a Democrat, that he's a reliable vote. He is going to support typical liberal establishment values on social policies. He'll probably be good enough to support the kind of big money, whether those are Wall Street policies or any sort of neoliberal policies that might be favored by the Democratic establishment. Well, those are probably votes where you can count on Ben Cardin to support. He has recently gained some attention because he's taken a leading role in pushing the Russian investigation, the investigation into, you know, how many of these Trump officials maybe were involved in colluding or interfering or helping Russia interfere in the 2016 election, and put out, had his name on a big report that came out within the last month or two. And so that's the kind of person that Chelsea is running against. And the reason why she could upend this whole race in Maryland is because he is unremarkable, and perhaps there are people in Maryland who desire much more out of Ben Cardin and the Democratic Party, and Chelsea's going to try and offer them something.
Isn't another aspect of Ben Cardin's his legacy in the Senate is strong allegiance to AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, and he's been very reliable for the Democrats as a pro-Israel senator.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And also, we could add in that he's a reliable surveillance vote. He's somebody who would be willing to expand and grant Donald Trump warrantless surveillance powers under FISA. And so Chelsea, obviously, coming from her background, is a what I would probably describe as a left-wing libertarian, you know, and so she's not going to favor the expansion of the surveillance apparatus. She's not going to favor pursuing war to the same extent and expanding military defense at the expense of social, people here in the United States. And so that's something that's going to define this race.
What has the Democratic critique of Chelsea Manning been? I'm assuming that the party in its official capacity is going to probably hold off, since she's actually running as a Democrat. But the sort of unofficial voices of the Democratic Party establishment, how have they responded to her candidacy?
One of the more prominent voices to come out right away and smear Chelsea Manning was a Rapid Response campaign director, former director, and his name is Zach Petkanis, and he worked for the Hillary Clinton campaign as their Rapid Response director. And he's now a part of the so-called Trump War Room. This is the outfit of Democratic strategists or consultants who are helping to respond to Donald Trump and his White House. And so he came out and basically said that Chelsea was a Russian agent, and that this is the reason why she's running for the Senate is very curious because of the timing and because of who Ben Cardin is. And when people challenged him on this idea that that Chelsea Manning would be a Russian agent because, WikiLeaks was not, nobody was talking about WikiLeaks in 2010 as this outfit that was possibly being, had some kind of relationship with the Kremlin or anything. That came much, much later. Well, then he responded that, well, back in 2012, Julian Assange went and got a show on RT on Russia Today, and he believed that Chelsea was probably compromised years ago before this ever happened, because there was probably some kind of private dealing going on with WikiLeaks. It's just ludicrous.
She's a tool of Russia to basically break the Democratic Party's power in the Senate so that Trump and the Republicans can be more powerful. That's his theory?
Yeah, this was one of the more ludicrous theories that was pushed. And I think a more serious one to take much more seriously is that the response is going to be that Chelsea Manning cannot be supported, not because she released documents and has felony on her record, but because, you know, the politics that she has are so far outside the spectrum of what the Democratic Party establishment will support. And they have a reliable vote in Ben Cardin. And so what you're seeing is one of the more immediate framings for her campaign is that she is this defiant candidate, that she's going to run against Ben, and it's going to divide up voters in the Democratic Party base, and it's going to force the Democratic Party establishment to expend resources and spend time trying to respond to some of what Chelsea says. And again, they're worried that there's going to be a contentious primary. I think there's a lot similarity between Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton, that basically what you have is a Democratic Party establishment that does not want competitive primaries from any. This is not unique to Chelsea. I think there's this belief that's being pushed by Democratic Party strategists that if we have competitive primaries in 2018 and they get too intense, that's actually going to make candidates weaker against Republicans, and that's going to make it difficult to win back the House or Senate. And it just is supremely flawed, because you would think that a primary, if it's competitive, is going to make a candidate stronger, and the person who comes out is going to be best situated to challenge and bring the base and have good turnout on election day.
Well, the Democratic Party's goal or strategy appears to always be how to win the least amount of votes in order to retain a sliver of power, rather than actually try to get the popular vote. Benjamin Cardin, another aspect of his candidacy as an incumbent is that he has had his seat in the Senate since 1966. And before that, his uncle Maurice Cardin essentially held that seat. So this is sort of a family dynasty that has felt some sort of entitlement to the Senate seat in Maryland. It's, you know, something he probably has never had to really work that hard to win, except maybe now.
Yeah, it's dynastic. And I think that's the thing, is that people in Maryland probably think that Ben has this entitlement to the seat, and by Chelsea sticking her nose in and deciding that she wants to run, they probably are offended that she would dare to challenge Ben Cardin. And I think that that's one dynamic that's really remarkable. Another aspect of this is the fact that she is this LGBTQ candidate and she's running. And you wonder, what are progressive groups going to think about Chelsea Manning running? Are they going to step forward and support her candidacy? Or is she too controversial? Is her background too controversial for them to decide to support? And I bring this up just because there's this history going back to when Chelsea was first in the Quantico Marine brig facing mistreatment, when we were just learning about her struggles dealing with her sexual orientation, dealing with her gender identity issues, way before she had come out as a transgender woman. And you knew that there was a dimension of this story that involved LGBTQ issues. And in fact, the community did nothing to support her. And later on, when the San Francisco Pride wanted to make her the grand marshal for their parade, there were Democratic strategists and people who were running it who are affiliated with the Democrats that decided that it was just out of line. They catered to these military groups that help fund the parade, or that give them backing or provide support, and they basically acquiesced to what those military people wanted and decided that they were going to let Chelsea Manning be the Grand Marshal. She was in prison at the time. But it's been very contentious for the LGBTQ community to decide whether to support Chelsea in her struggles.
And in fact, Kevin, you write about John Aravosis, who is a sort of commentator online and quite influential within some sectors of the LGBTQ community. He's been also sort of attacking Chelsea's candidacy, even though one might hope that he would support it.
Yes, and what I found remarkable from him as just an example, and I don't believe that he's the only person who's taking this view, but he adopted this idea of, well, just because she's transgender doesn't mean I have to vote for her.
Sure.
She might be a candidate that is not as good as, and he also turned it around, so I resent the fact that it would be, you know, racist or, you know, whatever, it might be sexist if I vote for Ben Cardin and I don't vote for Chelsea. And frankly, this is turning identity politics completely on its head and throwing it out. And it's just astounding, because this was back in 2016, we were being told that we had to support Hillary Clinton because she was a woman. And,
right.
And I feel like John and these people are the same ones who would have discounted Bernie's accolades and everything that made him a valuable candidate.
I mean, it's less about identity and more about politics. So Chelsea Manning could be, a straight white male with the politics that she has and still be a favorable candidate to the left, or she could be exactly who she is with very establishment Democratic politics, and suddenly she would be probably very palatable to the establishment Democratic Party. It seems it's a party that seems to want to use identity politics only when it benefits them. Center for American Progress's Anira Tandon has also come out and attacked Chelsea Manning's candidacy, another sort of left-leaning liberal, prominent person that supports the Democratic Party, who seems to use identity politics when it benefits the Democratic Party. So finally, what about the fact that Chelsea Manning seems to be this candidate that is, you know, she stands alone. You can't really control her. She's a wild card, which is, I think, part of the persona that she's cultivated for herself. She recently was under some scrutiny for showing up at a so-called alt-right event. The Washington Post had a bizarre headline saying that her showing up at this far-right pro-Trump bash infuriated the far left. Tell us about what she did and why you think she did it.
So I frankly think that this is, to use a cliche, much ado about nothing, because she's actually come out and been pretty open about what she was doing, and I don't believe that she's lying, or at least at this moment, I have no reason to believe that she's lying. Perhaps she made a mistake by being there and putting herself in a position where there could be photos shared and people could make their own interpretations about why she was present at these events or why she was present at these gatherings, and then that could impact her ability to gain some momentum here with her campaign, especially in the early stage. However, what she's claiming is that she was collecting intelligence on these fascists or these far-right individuals, and that she acted friendly toward them, but really, honestly, she just kind of wanted to know what their plans were and what they are trying to do in order to sow division and spread hatred.
And she actually
tweeted
about this. She said, crashed the fascist slash white supremacist hate brigade party. All selfies were denied. And she's got lots of emojis there. Hashtag crash the fash. Hashtag we got this. So she sort of came out and very openly spoke out about what she was doing, which is interesting, right? I mean, we talk about Donald Trump having his own sort of independent means of communicating to his supporters via Twitter that does not rely on the mainstream media. In a way, Chelsea Manning has done exactly that as well. She has cultivated a Twitter following where she can be her own storyteller.
Yeah, and she was doing this when she was at Fort Leavenworth, and she's going to continue it as a Senate candidate. And I think this really upsets people on the left. This really upsets people who believe that you have to challenge fascist or right-wing people. You can't make common cause with them. You can't try to find common ground because they are spreading hate and bigotry. But I think this is really a case where you're seeing guilt by association. Just because she appears in these photos alongside these people doesn't mean that she's willing to work with them, or that they're going to play any role in her campaign, or that she's giving any inches at all to these people when it comes to their hateful agenda. And I believe that, you know, if you read the best article out right now is actually by Mike.com, and it's out there, and it's detailing what went on and how she ended up in this situation. And yeah, all these people, these right-wing personalities that are part of this have come to the fore since Donald Trump became president are mentioned. But she apparently was debating these people. And it apparently doesn't seem like any of these people who are far-right personalities actually thought that she was changing her viewpoints or her principles at all by being present here. It seems very clear to me that she was engaged in the very thing that she says she was doing through her Twitter, that she was just crashing and that she probably wanted some information
right.
that she could use.
And if anybody had any doubt about her politics after that tweet that I quoted, she had another tweet about DACA, where she said, no compromises, no more deportations, no more prison camps, no more borders, dismantle ICE, and let everyone go. So, you know, she takes a very clear position on immigration, completely antithetical, obviously, to that of the alt-right, if one had any doubts, yeah.
Well, and I just think it's worth it to quickly get in here that Linda Sarsour is this high profile Muslim activist who was very close to Bernie Sanders' campaign. And she endorsed Chelsea Manning, or she was very supportive when Chelsea
Really?
Manning made the announcement. Mm. She thought this is a great step that Chelsea is taking. It's got potential. And she was disappointed to see Chelsea at this event. Apparently, Chelsea was crying and was very upset that she had disappointed Linda, and she apologized to Linda. And I don't think I would be very stunned if Chelsea made this the choice to appear at something like this again over the course of 2018 before this election. Mm.
Finally, I'm wondering, Kevin, what you think her candidacy represents in terms of a model for people on the left wanting to run. Because, you know, there's been a lot made about how the establishment Democratic Party is just sort of towing the line. But after Donald Trump's election, a lot of rules have been thrown out the window. And, you know, he sort of showed that you can break the standard rules of government and take power. And in a way, Chelsea Manning is now using those same tools. You know, she is breaking the mold that you are expected to have to step into in order to run for government. The boldness, the courage of her campaign ad suggests that, you know, she has nothing to lose. She's going to be herself. And that's the kind of refreshing thing that people are waiting for from politicians and potential political candidates.
The model is broken. And you'll see the New York Times provide a platform to Democratic Party strategists or consultants to push, and former Democrats who are now working for firms like Bain Capital. And you'll see them push this idea that you can't bash Donald Trump. We can't have party activists running in primaries because it's going to divide us. But because we have to appeal to suburban Republicans in the southern states. This is the favorite strategy of people like Neera Tanden and Zach Pitkanis, who are attacking Chelsea Manning. And then I think that's possibly why they're so adamant and against Chelsea. And really, Chelsea and others who are part of Our Revolution, who the Bernie Sanders supporters, the tens of thousands of people who are choosing for the first time to run for political office, are truly the people who are breathing new life into the Democratic Party and giving it the possibility of being strong in the 2018 midterms. I can't imagine the liberal centrists or even the right of center Democrats that are running in 2018 are going to do that well against Trumpism, because the very fact that Trumpism has succeeded is because it is an ideology. It is something that appeals to Americans as a way of seeing and viewing their existence and as a U.S. citizen. And we need something that's an alternative that can tell them to turn away from bigotry and hate and choose something else, and also choose something where people are helped, where there is welfare, where people aren't struggling and there is a social safety net that can uplift individuals. And right now, everything that they think is that people are out to get them. And Donald Trump has informed me that Mexicans and all of these other individuals are coming to get me. And so I need to support Donald Trump so he can stop that. And Chelsea and all these other people put forward an alternative, and the Democrats don't feel like doing that. So that's why she's creating this new model, and others are, and why it's really helpful.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to the piece that you wrote about Chelsea Manning's candidacy at shadowproof.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Kevin Gostola is the managing editor of shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. We've been discussing Chelsea Manning's Senate primary candidacy. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for a daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.